Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and on we go with our show of conversations featuring some of this year's Tony Award nominees. The Tonys are this Sunday. And now to nominee Jessica Chastain, who's up for Best Lead Actress in a Play for her performance as Nora, the protagonist of A Doll's House. The 1879 work by Henrik Ibsen was radical for its time, causing a stir with such proto-feminist themes as women should be allowed to sign their own checks without having to forge their husband's signature. Now, with a new adaptation from Amy Herzog and a pared-back staging from director Jamie Lloyd, this 143-year-old play feels like it could be set in 2023. In case you need a refresher from your high school lit class, Chastain's Nora is a chatty, determined woman who is devoted to her children and her doting, and a slightly condescending husband, Torvald. They've had money struggles, but a recent promotion for Torvald means some comfort. Nora won't have to count every penny before buying the kids Christmas presents. But Nora has a big secret. Years ago, she forged documents on a loan to pay for her husband's medical care, and now she's being blackmailed by the bank associate who looked the other way. And yes, he works for Nora's husband and will rat her out unless Nora helps him get a better position. With seemingly nowhere to turn for help, Nora becomes increasingly desperate in her search for a way out. A Doll's House is nominated in 6 Tony categories, including Best Lead Actress for Jessica Chastain's performance as Nora, as well as Best Direction, Best Revival, and more. And when Jessica and playwright Amy Herzog joined me on the show, I began by asking Amy what parts of the original production's DNA she wanted to preserve in this production.
Well, I've loved the play for a long time, and so I didn't approach it in a kind of radical revisionist way. I think there's so much that I wanted to honor about the complexity of the characters and the depth of the relationships. In a way, I think what I wanted to reapproach wasn't so much what Ibsen wrote as the way it's been interpreted and understood for the last, you know, century and a half or whatever since he wrote it. So it wasn't like I had to reinvent it so much as kind of reinvestigate some of the things that were already there. And for me, that really meant looking at the way Nora wasn't just a victim of circumstance and a victim of her time, but an active participant in the system that she was born into and was living in, and a really canny, smart, interesting, funny person who made the most of her circumstances and for whom it worked for a really long time until it didn't, which I think is a fresher way to think about the ways women are limited, not, you know, just by outside circumstances, but also by the decisions that we make, which may have certain benefits, but ultimately can trap us.
Jessica, your work as an actor starts before the play even starts. Mm. You come on stage and you're seated in a chair on a circular revolving stage. For people at home trying to picture, it's like a very slow merry-go-round kind of, but it's a very sparse set. And you're out there for a good 15 minutes before the show starts. How does that prepare you for this Nora? How does that prepare the audience for this Nora?
Wow, it's a fascinating exercise when thinking about it. I mean, it's interesting for the audience to see Nora in the space as though she's been in this house for a while. And what I do is when I'm sitting in the chair, I'm really trying to connect to the audience, which is not something normally done in theater. You know, in the past, I've had this fear, this nervousness of people like seeing me or whatnot. And I'm out there and I'm sitting and I'm actually really looking at everyone. And in some sense, what I've noticed is it's created the space. They can see me, but I can also see them. We're doing it together. And it feels like, you know, Jamie Lloyd has this exercise where he creates a grid for the actors where we all feel connected energetically. And that goes on to the stage and the performances. But what it does with when I'm looking at the audience, I'm connecting to the audience energetically. So they become part of the performance.
And it's interesting in watching the audience react because at first everybody wants to take your picture and then that goes away pretty quickly after. And you're wondering, like, what is going on with this character? Yeah. What is she doing on stage?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm also thinking in terms of Nora as I'm looking out there, the for the women and also the men. Like, mm-hmm. Who else is Nora in their circumstances? Who else is, in some sense, playing a part to become palatable to others? And in doing so, aren't, you know, experiencing their own authentic truth? So I'm really connecting to everyone so they feel like they're going to go on this journey with me.
Amy, you've worked with Jessica before on HBO's Strange Scenes from Marriage. When you were working on this adaptation, did you have this actor in mind?
Yeah, we were actually just talking about this. Jamie and Jessica approached me to write the adaptation earlier last year, and so I knew it was for Jessica, which was mm-hmm. a huge gift because it was it was so concrete and real in my mind, this Nora. It wasn't just like an abstract Nora. It was Jessica's Nora, which I could picture having worked with her.
That's interesting. So you have this a little bit of a head start in a way because you know Jessica's voice, you know her personally, you know her, the way she works. So after that head start, then what do you do?
gosh, I mean, you know, I had a really like woo-woo kind of process, I have to say, that I felt like I was communing with Ibsen, which sounds really ridiculous, but I felt as I was working with this literal translation, which was prepared by Charlotte Barsland, because I don't read Norwegian, like I was trying so hard to understand with every line what it was that Ibsen was trying to do. And as I got deeper and deeper into the play, I felt more and more like I was able to do that, and then was just trying to make the language as immediate and contemporary as possible and eliminate as many obstacles to people connecting to the play as possible.
Jessica, in this version, this was fascinating to me that the action is never acted out, that the men are supposed to smoke cigars, but we never see them light cigars. We never see them put their hands up to light cigars. You play with your children. We never see the hide and seek. Nobody hides. Nobody. We don't even see the children. We just hear them. As you, an actor, what challenges does that pose? And then what opportunities does that afford you?
Well, I had seen some of Jamie Lloyd's work. You know, I saw Cyrano, which was fantastic,
oh, yeah,
with James McAvoy. I think he's so incredible at looking at these plays that in the past, in some sense, are performed as museum pieces, mm-hmm. you know, corsets and petticoats and all, and fan work and all of that, and saying, okay, why are we doing it today? How does this affect us in this moment? How does it affect every person in the audience? Are we able to hold up a mirror and saying, yes, this was written almost 200 years ago, but why is it still relevant? And you know, the stakes become higher because it is still relevant. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, his whole way of working is to simplify, simplify, simplify. And that's the note he usually gives me. It's like, simplify. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is it just gets me out of my own way. So what I can do now is I can speak, you know, Amy's incredible adaptation and dialogue and connect with the other actors on stage and also connect to the audience in many ways, because we're all telling the story together. And then there's nothing in the way. There's no fan work. There's no petticoats. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of what are we playing now? What is happening in this moment?
Yeah, there's no, you all look like you could be going to a gallery opening. Everybody's in black and very modern. And I thought about that, the costuming, because so often when I interview actors, they talk about the costuming and the hair can really help them get there. But in this case, well, maybe it does help you get there, because maybe your there is different than what Nora has normally been.
I definitely feel more exposed. It's an interesting thing as an actor. It's very scary what he's created, because you can hide behind tricks in other ways. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hide behind your props or your food. I mean, that's a big joke we all have when we're making movies. It's like food eating, food acting is like the easiest acting, because you really don't, you just say your lines and you eat. And it's like you don't have to think about what you're doing. Or, you know, when you have a prop, it kind of takes you away from yourself. But in this sense, with the costumes, with the set, with the, you know, how Jamie is staged it all, it's just you. And if you are not in the moment of what your character is going through, the audience is going to see it. So it's incredibly exposing. It feels like by simplifying, it's like a stripped down version where you can't hide.
We're discussing A Doll's House, which is at the Hudson Theater through June 4th. My guests are playwright Amy Herzog and actor Jessica Chastain. Amy, we see Nora seated in this chair almost the entire performance. What is it that has Nora feeling so trapped? Is it the financial situation? Is it the culture? Is it her own sense of her limitations?
I mean, I think it's all of the above. And I also think that the chair gesture that you're referring to is also open to interpretation. I'm not sure if it's just about feeling trapped. There's also, for me, just the incredible presence of Nora so close to you and so available to the audience the whole time. But yeah, she's trapped by, you know, these plays that were written in the 19th century do have this really kind of sturdy structure and dramaturgy. And there's a very tightly wound plot that where Nora's avenues out of her problem are getting fewer and fewer as the play goes along. So I think that's a big part of it. But yes, absolutely, she's trapped by the marriage, by the mores of the time, by the expectations of women. And then on top of that, what we've been so interested in is by the choices she's made and the decisions she's made to participate.
When we first meet Nora, Jessica, how does she feel about her marriage?
Oh, I think when we first meet Nora, she's content. Mm-hmm. You know, she's cheerful. She's content. She's not aware of the choices she's made or the situation she's really put herself into. And that's what's so exciting about the play. As it goes on, she becomes more and more aware. I mean, there is a moment when we first meet her. She's content, but also, you know, Torvald says in the very first scene, "What's going on with you today?" Mm-hmm. There's something brewing, which also is very exciting because it's not just these external forces that change Nora. Nora has already started to simmer and become aware of something mm-hmm. that she's not even conscious of. But she's also someone who, when we first meet her, and it was interesting, it was hard for me to memorize the lines for the first 20 pages. And I kept thinking, like, why am I having so much difficulty with this? And I came to the realization, well, that part of the play, she really isn't herself. I mean, in every scene, every character that she comes into contact with, she is trying to be what she imagines they want her to be. And she's trying to be as pleasing and as likable so they will give her what she wants. And whatever that is, mm-hmm. she is giving them a version of herself that she thinks is the version they want to see. And that's why it was so difficult to memorize those lines, because it never felt like it was truly her.
So we're feminists around here. We like to call it Feminist Friday all month. Jessica, what do you think this play and the role of Nora has meant to women in theater?
It's so fascinating to me because I was actually a late bloomer to this play. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in school, I was very angsty and I wanted to feel all the emotions. And I was more drawn to a character like Miss Julie and, you know, Strindberg's Miss Julie. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this a little bit, how, you know, they wrote these incredible parts. And they both these female characters come to the decision of, I have to sacrifice myself to save a man in some sense. And Nora and Julie make different decisions mm-hmm. at the end of the play. And I've decided, as I've matured, that I am so in awe of what Ibsen wrote. Because I find that in a lot of media, and you see it, I'm going to be completely honest, you see it in a lot of Lars von Trier, you know, cinema, mm-hmm. you see a lot of the stereotype of the woman as a martyr, you know, and how noble it is that she, in some sense, sacrifices herself for others. Mm-hmm. I think that is a very, very dangerous thing to put in the media and for women to be trained to see. Mm-hmm. So I'm incredibly inspired and very grateful to Ibsen for this Nora.
Of course, in the original, Nora's choice is punctuated by a famous door slam.
Please don't give it. I'm going to stop you.
No, I wasn't. I promise. It still could be a door slam. It could just be something that, you know, we've discussed how the staging is different and unusual and modern. My question is, was it always going to be different than the original, Amy?
Oh, you know, that is a staging choice. I can't take any responsibility for the thing that we will not name right now.
For the way Nora goes.
Yeah, no, my brilliant collaborator, Jamie Lloyd, is responsible for, you know, there's just a big question when you approach this play. You know what, yeah, as Shaw said, the door slam heard around the world. How are you going to recreate the shock of the original? And so Jamie Lloyd found a way.
Jessica, what do you hope audiences, after they see the show and they go for a cocktail or on their subway ride home, are thinking about?
I was just saying this to Amy. My favorite reaction was from a friend of mine, a man who came to see the show. And he texted me the next day and he said, "Am I like that? I think I'm like that." And this is he's an incredible person and, you know, very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a beautiful reaction. If you can go see any kind of art, theater, paintings, any galleries, any kind of what I find so moving, and I'm so thankful for having a life that works in art, is hopefully it inspires you to examine yourself and examine your life and examine the possibilities of what life could be, and your life almost as a dream. And so the idea that people could come see our show and the women can ask themselves, "Am I Nora?" The men can ask themselves, "Am I Nora?" But people can also ask themselves, "Am I Torvald?" And this idea that it forces you to look at yourself and wonder, "Am I being the most authentic version of who I am?" I think that's really exciting.
That was my conversation with Jessica Chastain and playwright Amy Herzog about the 6-time Tony-nominated play, A Doll's House. Coming up, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, A Cost of Living, explores the complex and intimate relationships between two disabled people and their caregivers. Playwright Martina Mayoke and actors Katie Sullivan and David Sayas join me next to discuss.